Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to another all-new edition of Geek to Me Radio. Today, we'll be talking with the social media brains behind the Arby's campaign you've been seeing on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, how they come up with all those brilliant ideas, who's involved, and are they really nerds? We'll find out all that and some more along the way as we broadcast live from Toy Man. Stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. And if you don't know Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rules and more. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all. You must catch them all. Try to catch them all. Gotta catch.
We have a jam-packed show today talking to the people behind the Arby's social marketing team. We are broadcasting live at Toy Man Toy Show. If you'd like to come down and visit us, myself and my off-time videographer Bob Singleton are down here. We're selling our stuff. Come down by comics, Funko Pops, Batman toys, movies, DVDs, and Blu-rays, and more. Toy Man Toy Show at the Machinist Hall at the intersection of St. Charles Rock Road and 270. But in the meantime, we've got a lot of show to get to, so let's jump right in. We're joined now by the brains behind the Arby's social marketing team. If you've been on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that, you've seen their very, very clever posts all about anime, video games, movies, and I can't stop watching the feed. We've got the people from the team on. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
So we're only part of the team. We're the creative team, and we work for a marketing company called Moxie. My name is Jennifer Barclay, and I'm the creative director on the account.
My name is Scott Hunt. I'm the art director.
And I'm Brandon Kramer, and I'm the copywriter, so I ruin all their beautiful art with horrible puns.
And Cameron is also on the line, yes?
Correct, yes. Cameron Mendenhall, the project manager for the team.
Perfect. So the very first question, how did this, the genesis of this all come about? Because it's been going strong for a while now. And how did the idea to tap into the geek culture of anime and movies and everything, how did that come about?
Well, it kind of started a few years back. We started working on the Arby's account. And, you know, Arby's was interested in making content that was engaging. It wasn't about selling. It was like, hey, what can we do that is fun and people want to see? And so the very first post we did that kind of fell into that nerd spectrum where we saw like a really big reaction was actually a Triforce post. So Arby's sells potato cakes, which are basically like triangle shaped hash browns, and they sell them in sets of 3. So the team was on a shoot one day, and we kind of arranged them as a Triforce like you do when you're kind of nerdy. And we took a picture, and we kind of took it to our clients at Arby's, and we said, this should be the post, this image of just these 3 potato cakes, and the copy, it's dangerous to go alone, take this. And again, it was pretty different from stuff that had been done in the past, like on Arby's, but we put it out there and kind of tested to see, you know, how people would react. And I think everyone was really kind of surprised, like, whoa, Arby's, like, you're kind of nerdy. What's this? And we got a really positive response. And so that kind of opened the door for us to just keep trying different ways to make content that kind of, you know, surprises people and is super fun to, I don't know, see pop up on your feed.
So is everyone on the team, are you guys all huge nerds and geeks? Is that kind of like, is this like your dream account to be working on right now?
Yeah.
That's safe to say. And we're all kind of nerdy in our own way, which lets us hit like a wider breadth of topics too. And that extends beyond the creative team into obviously even our clients at Arby's. We definitely believe that everyone's kind of a nerd or a geek about something. And so we try to just tap into, you know, what people are interested in. And we really treat the Arby social account as a fellow fan. Like, Arby's is a fan too, and so what would we be doing? We'd be making fan art or celebrating like new releases, and that's just kind of been our approach to the whole shebang.
And I know some of the stuff you guys have done have been as simple as arranging your curly fries in the shape of a dragon for Mortal Kombat, or these elaborate cardboard cutouts like you did the Meowth balloon for Pokemon Day. How far in advance do you have to work on these to get these prepped and planned, and then before you roll them out, do you have like 30 ideas waiting in the stable ready for the next post?
Yeah, sometimes we do. There are certain things like pins in the calendar that us, as you know, people in that fandom, we know are coming. So a couple of years ago, or actually last summer, I built Howl's Moving Castle knowing that it was coming up on the anniversary, so I had plenty of time ahead to build that. But like on the day the Nintendo Switch was announced, we watched the live stream along with everybody else, and then within 4 hours had one built, shot, and posted. So it really depends on, you know, how much notice we get.
Yeah, that's the craziest part about this job for me, is that it's all stuff that I'm kind of aware of and celebrating on my own, and this is the first job I've ever had in my professional career where I get to utilize all of that excitement and actually apply it to Excel sheets that go to a client to get approval. All that stuff. It's really trippy, but it's the best creative environment I've ever been in because it lets me celebrate my passions like that.
Well, hopefully the making of the Excel spreadsheets doesn't dampen the joy at all. Hopefully it's still fun.
No, it's the most fun you can have in Excel. It's planning out game release dates for social content for a QSR.
So have you guys, I know there was a thing you guys did with Bandai Namco for the Evolution Championship Series. Have you actually had brands or like even like some of the celebrities from some of the TV shows you parodied, have you had anybody reach out to you and say, whoa, I love what you did here. Have they given you any ideas or say, hey, why don't you do this? What kind of feedback do you get from the actual like brands or companies who you're showcasing their product?
Yeah, we've been really lucky. Bandai Namco is a really great example. Their social team is amazing. And they saw what we were doing early on, like with one post. And from there, they were just like, what else can we do? And how can we help? And I think most people who work in the social media realm, in like the current marketing environment, get that no one wants ads. They want interesting content, and they want things they're excited about. And so we've been lucky to find partners that are super keen to work with us, and they get what we're doing, and they want to try and make crazy, you know, things. So having partners like Bandai that you can go to and be like, hey, what if we built a giant nightmare statue out of packaging and it showed up at your booth? Just knowing that we've got kind of allies who are like, yeah, let's do that. And what else could we do? And how can we help? Obviously really helps make our content even better. And again, sometimes we'll get like early heads up as to like their initiatives of things coming, what's coming out. So just personally as a nerd, now getting to sit on calls where it's like, okay, don't tell anyone, but here's something new that's coming out down the line. There's like that balance of sound professional and also like innerly being like, oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah, as far as individuals responding, we do see a fair amount of that too, but that's less an official interaction. It's more just like they either quote retweet it or like reply to it being like, where did this come from? How do you guys know what this is and who I am? And like, you know, it even goes overseas sometimes. Like there's no Arby's that we're aware of in Japan, but Japanese creators will sometimes respond to our posts that reference anime or games that are Japanese in origin. Like Yoko Taro, who did Nier Automata that came out early 2017, that's a very niche game, but we knew it had a passionate audience behind us, so we created this post celebrating the release of that game. And the creator, who's a Japanese creator, his fans basically thrust the post at him and said, you have to see this. And he had no idea what Arby's is, but his response was, well, I have to find an Arby's and eat it now, and next time I'm in America. And we see stuff like that from everybody. Like Neil Gaiman has responded to our posts. People from all over. And it's always positive. I think that's the unique thing too. Is that perception that we're like, oh God, this QSR is getting in. You know, like is invading our space. Is pretending to be a nerd. It's always genuinely like, wow, okay, no, they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, and I think that's a testament to our clients as well. They've never once been like, hey, sell sandwiches or, you know, try and push product. And they've not been afraid to do really niche, obscure posts. So sometimes we'll post things or there'll be copy where not everyone's going to get it. Really, only the fandom's going to get it. And to me, kind of the most, I don't know, positive thing I've seen is on a comment thread in a QSR brand, you'll have someone chime in and they're like, I don't know what this is. Can someone please tell me? And then people are coming in and they're saying, oh, this is this game or this is this anime. And then they're like learning about it and they're like, oh, I'll have to check it out. So again, that coming or happening on like basically like a food brand social platform is very unusual. And just to see kind of a community of nerds like wanting to chat there, it makes it, I don't know, heartwarming, I guess. I get really excited when I see, you know, things like that.
And on your Facebook page, there have been a couple times when I consider myself pretty nerdy, pretty geeky, but there's a couple that are like, I'm not entirely sure what that is. But then if I read the comments, everyone's like, oh, well, obviously this is this. So I chime in. I'm like, yes, yes, of course it is. So I don't feel like an idiot. But I notice also your Facebook page, some of the fans get very into the conversation. Like I've seen actual back and forth arguments of, no, this isn't the best player in the game. It should have been this. And other fans would be like, the heck it is. This is, you know. So I noticed you guys don't really step in and moderate, which is probably for the best. But what is the feeling you guys get when you see fans actually arguing about a post or a video game or a movie that you posted about on your page?
I think it's exciting because, again, being kind of a nerd myself, I've been in places where I'm debating, you know, who the best character is or best waifu or whatever with one of my friends. So, again, it's not something that we have to jump in and stop. I feel like it's always, you know, it's a normal thing that kind of nerddom does. And I think it's really great that those conversations are happening or that we're able to kind of spark those conversations on our page. Sometimes we don't always chime in on things, but there's certain stuff where we'll, like, God, when Pokemon Go came out, everyone was like, Arby's, what's your team? What's your team? And so, you know, some brands would be like, oh, all teams are great. But we were like, that's not very authentic. Like, if you're playing the game, you're a team. So we chose a team and stuck with it. And it was really funny to see, you know, like one third of the population be really down with their choice and everyone else being like, oh, that sucks. We're never going to Arby's again. But again, like even our clients understood that they didn't really mean it. It was everyone playing along and treating us not like a brand.
Yeah,
but
it's validating to actually isolate some people like that. Like it's picking a side, being a part of that larger conversation in a genuine way. It's not just like, here's a logo slap on something that looks like a Pokemon.
Yeah.
And so most of the Arby's, I take it, are you guys all at least Pokestops or gyms? Or have all the stores converted now?
They're not all converted, no. But we definitely picked a side for the main Arby's team. And we kind of pooled what everyone who played, like who was playing at the time, like what our number one team was. So.
And we're going to come right back talking more with the creative team behind the Arby's social marketing extravaganza right after this. Stand by.
Thundercats, ho!
Sword of Omens, come to my hand. I, Lion-O, command it. Hi, this is Larry Kenny, the voice of Lion-O, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
And we're back. If you're driving around in the St. Louis area right now, listening on 105.3 FM or 1380 AM, thank you very much for tuning in and finding us as we chat with the social media team behind Arby's campaign on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. They were talking about the what they've done, their ideas, how they've kind of come about getting them, as well as the they just which side they picked in Pokemon. If you miss any of this, be sure to find us again on anywhere you get your podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Podomatic. Geek to Me Radio is our show, and please follow us on Twitter at Geek to Me Radio, as well as Instagram at Geek to Me Radio. We're going to get right back into it. And we are talking with the people from Moxie Marketing, talking about the Arby's campaign. We've got Cameron, Jen, Scott, and Brandon on the line. When you guys do your social posts, do one of you is like, are one of you the gamer? Are one of you the movie guy? Are one of you the comic fan? Or do you guys all kind of spread out the fandoms among you?
We're all pretty spread out among our different fandoms. There are certain things that each of us are definitely the expert in. Like if you see any of the marching band or WGI or DCI posts, that's kind of my realm. But I'm also a gamer. I'm also into anime. So, yeah, we spread the love.
Well, yeah, and if you think about gaming, you know, no one's like, I'm the gamer and I know every game. You might be aware of it, but everyone has their genres where it's like, I really like first-person shooters or RPGs. So, again, having that mix of like people we can tap into. And again, outside of the creative team, our clients have particular games that they're into. You know, we'll tap into Cameron. I mean, he's project management, but he still has passions outside of work that we can kind of draw on. So we're never shy about kind of tapping our experts. But actually, things get kind of easier for us as we go, because a lot of fans will suggest things on the Arby's channel too. Hey, are you doing anything for this coming up? Or we're excited about this. There's actually been like shows or games that sometimes people will comment about that just for me personally, I'll be like, oh, what is this? That's the first time I've heard about it, and I'll check it out. So the people we're talking to, the fact that they're talking back to us also kind of informs us, and you know, it's made me kind of a bigger nerd in certain ways, or helped me discover like new properties I wasn't as aware of. So I don't know, it feels very rewarding as a job. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, do I really get to do this for a living? This is fantastic.
And I know some of the posts, you guys have just done a simple picture and then a caption without ever, you're not hitting over anyone over the head with, this is a Pokemon post. Like, I loved your one from August 10th. It was the cop, the 1960s dystopian cop, and it just said, find your joy. And I love that game, We Happy Few. And it's like, that's brilliant. Another one you did, I think sometime in middle of July, was a Happy Gilmore reference that just said, are you too good for your home? And it's knocking a golf ball into an Arby's cup. So have you found the less heavy-handed approach works better?
Yeah, I think, you know, people are savvy on the internet to marketing. And like, if we're trying to talk to someone who's a fan of something, you know, if you're a fan of We Happy Few, you've been waiting for that game for a while to come out, and you know what's going on, and you've kind of caught up on it. So we don't have to spell it out for you like, hey, everybody, aren't you excited for We Happy Few? You know the visuals, and we can kind of just make something that you'll stop and look at and be excited about. And again, if some people don't get it, if it looks interesting, they'll learn about it. It's just kind of how everyone, like how you would actually talk with your friends. Like if your friends are, no one, like your buddy's not coming up and like, have you heard about this fantastic game? You know, they start talking about this thing and you're like, wait, what is that? Tell me more. So I think it's just more authentic. And again, in social media, you know, there's targeting, and we can make sure that the content gets to the people who are fans of it, and, you know, hopefully doesn't confuse a bunch of people who it's not for and who would never be interested or play the game.
Yeah, we do our best to make sure that the copy and the image both hit the reference so that it reads like that, especially coming from some place as oddball as Arby's. But that's, this is also somewhere where we should definitely applaud the client for being bold enough and brave enough to be obscure like that, to make those weird inside references that aren't going to register with the majority of the Arby's audience. But we're not going for the majority. We're going for the minority that will be passionate about that post and will respond with that same level of passion because somebody at Arby's knows what their favorite upcoming game is.
And so with this post has been, when did this start? Was it this year, or has it been a full year already since the campaign started?
Oh, it's been nearly
1.5 years.
Yeah, at least 2.5.
Really?
And again, it started out a little slower, where we would, a lot of it was just sort of trial and error, and then also not just rushing into a fandom. You know, we obviously were all nerds, but to the world, Arby's was just getting nerdy or just showing that they were a nerd. So we kind of had posts here or there, sort of, you know, as big releases came out, and it started more in gaming. And then as we saw passion grow there, we started doing more gaming posts, and then we explored other areas, whether it be other sections of gaming, like board games, tabletop gaming, or diving into anime.
Busting open the anime door was huge. Like, that's a huge response because there's so many people that love anime.
Yeah.
Who never expected from a roast beef-oriented restaurant.
Yep. We like sandwiches and anime.
Yeah.
But, and I mean, honestly, the fellow fan approach, it really extends to everything we're doing, even outside of, like, the traditionally, like, oh, this is, like, nerd realm. You know, Arby's has done programs where they had, like, a venison sandwich in store, and they really wanted to appeal to, like, a hunting audience. So our same approach was used there, where we're like, we're fellow fans of this, and how would we talk and engage with that audience? So we just try and, you know, treat anyone we're talking to or any audience we're engaging with just as authentically as possible. And we're really just not trying to market at anybody. We're just trying to make something cool and kind of have either a conversation or put something out that'll get people to, I don't know, smile or stop or, you know.
Yeah, we don't want to be your grandma, you know, coming in being like, so tell me about the Marios and the Nintendo. Like, you know, we want to be your friend, like, who's sitting next to you in class being like, dude, you download that new thing? How is it? Did you like it? You know.
I didn't sleep last night. All I did was play this.
Yeah.
Are you at this level yet?
Yeah, that's where we are. Like, it's, again, for me, being able to actually bring my knowledge and passion is something I never expected to do for a job like this. It's exceptional.
So sometimes I think of myself as clever. I'm immediately told no by my wife, but I'll come up with ideas. So you just mentioned the venison thing and selling that. Is that something you could do? Tell me if this is too off kilter. If you do it at Christmas time, have a picture of the venison sandwich with a plate of cookies and milk and say, shh, don't tell Santa.
did you see that post?
Yeah, we actually did. Exactly.
Did you really? Oh, my gosh.
That exists.
Yeah, I think that was last Christmas.
See, I missed it, see? Well, good
work. You're hired.
Fantastic. I'll head down to Atlanta right away. With this campaign, it's been obviously tremendously successful. You see campaigns for different stores, companies, corporations, and brands kind of run their course. They might go, you know, we had the Can You Hear Me Now guy for a while. We've had, I don't want to mention Jared at Subway because that's a dark corner. But certain campaigns run their course after a while. This one doesn't show any signs of stopping. Has Arby's given you an end date, or is it open-ended as long as the response keeps up the way it has been?
We'll get the answer to that question from the Arby's social marketing team right after this. Stand by.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Soles, the voice of Spider-Man and Ermie the Misfit Elf, wanted to be a dentist on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Coming to you on Geek to Me Radio. Hope you enjoy. Talk with you soon.
Here comes the Spider-Man.
And we're back, still broadcasting live from Toy Man Toy Show. If you're driving around the St. Louis area, you want to come down here in Bridgeton at the intersection of the St. Charles Rock Road and the Machinist's Hall. All sorts of cool things to be had for every collector at Toy Man Toy Show. You can follow them on Facebook. Just put in Toy Man STL. She'll pull him right up. And, yeah, it's a ton of stuff going on here, a lot of cool stuff. If you're in the market for any Funko Pops, they got Barbies, they got My Little Pony, they got Marvel, they got Star Wars, they've got older toys, they've got Hot Wheels, a little bit of everything, a little bit for something that you're going to find for everyone. So come on down, check them out, Toy Man Toy Show. We're here till 3 o'clock today, so pop on by. I want to make sure that we mention our premier sponsor, the City of St. Charles, Historic St. Charles. You can check out their website, discoverstcharles.com. A beautiful day. Yesterday, the first day of fall, so I know St. Charles is going to be mobbed today. Everyone out there enjoying the nice fall weather that has finally arrived, playing in Frontier Park, maybe having a picnic, maybe walking up and down Main Street, maybe getting some food, a little lunch out in their beautiful historic district. Always some cool things to see and do. You can plan your trip by going to that website I mentioned, discoverstcharles.com. Check out all the events that are coming up. The big one, Legends and Lanterns. We are, as I said, in fall now. With fall comes Halloween, my favorite holiday. And if you're a Halloween fan yourself, check out Legends and Lanterns. You'll be able to interact with living history characters like Edgar Allan Poe, Mary Shelley, the Brothers Grimm, Lizzie Borden, Baron Samedi, the Phantom of the Opera, and more. You can check that out, the Legends and Lanterns tab under their events page on the Discover St. Charles website. All sorts of things to do. Very fun place. Go on down, grab some food, do a little shopping. Discover St. Charles. DiscoverstCharles.com. Right before we went to break, we were visiting with the people behind the Arby social marketing team, and we asked them about whether or not this campaign showed any signs of ending.
It's evolved. Have you been on our account recently? You'd see that we started this whole Make My Sandwich campaign.
I have. I saw the Scooby-Doo post.
That has definitely, you know, been like part of the evolution of this whole campaign, is the fact that we've been able to integrate not only celebrities, influencers, but a lot of our nerd content has also been part of the sandwich launch.
And I guess we don't really think of any of the nerd content, like, that's not the campaign. That's like an audience or an interest that we want to talk about. So I feel like there's not like, well, this is when it ends or this is this year. Like, we're always going to want to engage with that audience. We're always going to want to make content for them. Campaigns might evolve, you know, like, hey, how do we do this in sandwiches? How do we do this, you know, with cardboard? How do we do this with whatever's next? But I think, you know, as long as there's passion and people love seeing what we're doing, you know, we'll just keep it up. But we see it as, you know, bigger than just, you know, oh, this is this thing we're trying to sell. It really is like, here's an audience and how do we talk to you and how do we keep talking with you? And, you know, the challenge for us is like, okay, how do we keep doing something that's as cool or cooler? Like, you know, what's this harder thing? So in some cases it was building that big nightmare statue for Bandai. Like, that was us evolving, like, these smaller, elaborate builds. And in that case, we actually got to tap in and work with a guest artist. So we were able to kind of sort of share the love and showcase the talents of Vulpen Props, is the company we use there. And again, they're really big in, like, props and cosplay world. So just also getting to kind of work with and give back to kind of a more nerdy community is exciting for us as fellow nerds.
And I don't know why you guys haven't already been optioned for some kind of a reality TV show. I think it'd be great to have like an The Office style thing where they come into Moxie and film you guys doing all this stuff. I think that'd make for a very entertaining show.
Well, we've done a couple of Facebook Lives where like Scott and I have been making or building cardboard art live in front of an audience, but it's more of us just being like, don't cut yourself, don't cut yourself. All right, we did it. Success.
And do you guys have anything big planned coming up? Will you guys be at like New York Comic Con or anything like that, or any big things in your future?
We are always talking with our clients and trying to figure out like what makes the most sense or what's the best bet. I don't think there's anything coming up that we're allowed to talk about yet. But just know that we're always looking for just interesting or unique ways to like engage or activate. And a lot of some of our best ideas have come from either partners or just people kind of reaching out saying like, hey, you know, I work here and I had an idea, or hey, I'm just a person and this seems cool. Arby's is kind of always game to hear ideas and figure out ways to like work with people or, you know, I don't know, figure out what we can do next. That's fun. So there's not really that much you can say other than we're definitely working hard every day to make sure there's still cool stuff coming for everyone's social feed.
We're taking a lot of phone calls. I think we can say that.
I'm sure doesn't seem like you're working hard with all the fun you guys sound like you're having.
Oh, I don't know about that.
So what's you love what you do and you never work a day in your life?
That's how it goes, yeah.
Yeah.
And before I let you go, I'll just go around the room and I'll ask you guys to either give your favorite post that you guys have done, or if you have a favorite moment in the campaign you guys have been doing so far. Let's start with Jen.
And we're going to get their answers to what their favorite campaign moment was from each member of the Arby's social marketing team right after this. Stand by.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
And we're back visiting with our friends from the social media team, talking about the Arby's campaign they've been running brilliantly. If you've been on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, you've seen the stuff they've done. It's been fantastic. And right before we went to break, we asked them what each of the team's favorite moment or post was. And we started with Jen.
Oh, no. Well, I'm probably going to pick Scott's favorite. So the Howl's Moving Castle post is actually one of my favorites because it's my all-time favorite Ghibli movie, and it wasn't too terribly long after Scott started on the team, and Scott is a tremendous talent, like a gifted artist. And so he came on, and I was like, all right, I don't have to build everything anymore, so I want you to build Howl's Moving Castle, but you're building it for me. And I just dumped a bunch of pressure on him to make it really awesome, and he knocked it out of the park. And so to this day, it's just my favorite thing in the world that exists is this castle.
And Scott, did she take yours?
She did. But so one of my favorite like realms we get to post in, as I've already mentioned, you know, like, Marching Band, Drum Corps, WGI, those are all like fandoms that I belong to. And so last year for Bands of America Nationals, I got to build an entire pit percussion setup, and we stop motion animated the whole thing. And that one for me was just super fun because I got to build all of these instruments, and it was a great post just because I was, you know, giving homage and honor to something that I grew up with and was very passionate about and still am. And
it's just cool to have a brand get to recognize those kind of fandoms as well.
Absolutely. Brandon, what about you?
I think if I have to pinpoint one that stood out for me and still stands out when I look back on everything, it would probably be last year, 2017 E3, when we pitched and managed to sell to the client this idea that Arby's creative team would roll in to the Electronic Entertainment Expo in LA and do sort of this stealth art drop campaign where we would hide some of our builds that are related to like games and game studios and hide them throughout the event. Guerrilla style, like without announcing it beforehand or anything, and then like basically make a game of it on Twitter by saying like, if you can come find this, if you're at E3, if you can come find this first, we'll give you not only the build to keep as like a weird cool little art memento of your trip to E3, you'll also get some swag. You know, we worked with a bunch of partners for each of the games that the build's related to like have a jump the line experience where you didn't have to wait in line to play the demo on the show floor. You know, could win a T-shirt signed by the creative team. You could actually, like, shake hands with some of the developers. And that was very hard to set up. And looking back on it, I'm still kind of amazed we pulled it off. But the response we got from that live on the show floor and both on Twitter really opened a lot of stuff up and really kind of, like, made an even bigger impact than we already had before that. And I think that stands out for me as something that really kind of furthered our presence and then reached an entirely new level of people. As far as like, holy cow, Arby's really is a nerd and a fan, just like I am.
That's brilliant. And Cameron, we saved you for last. What was yours?
I think that kind of piggybacking off of Brandon's, I think the Anime Expo this year, we kind of took the art drop installation that we did at Anime Expo and did that again at Anime Expo, but also worked with Vulpin Props and our friends over at Bandai to build that Nightmare statue and demo the Soul Calibur 6 game. So I think that was probably my favorite activation that we've done, just because it was working with a lot of friends, getting a lot of recognition. We were set up in the West Hall entrance, so it was really cool to see people come through the entrance and just immediately their minds were blown when they turn a corner and there's a giant Arby's Nightmare statue standing there. It's just kind of that unexpected surprise and delight. We brought some shirts and stuff, too, that we would give away. That kind of had the personification of an Arby's sauce packet as a anime-ass girl. So we give those out in people's minds. Again, we're just blown when we give those to them. So that was probably my I guess most standout moment.
The extra cool thing about that is Bandai Namco didn't plan on showing Soul Calibur 6 at all at Anime Expo, but we pitched them this idea and suddenly became the only place at Anime Expo to play Soul Calibur 6.
Yeah.
And we're Arby's.
Wow.
We had like a pretty dedicated group of people that showed up every single day and stood in front of our booth just to play Soul Calibur and like converse with the creative team here. So it was really cool to just see a dedicated group of fans that were both dedicated Arby's fans and dedicated Soul Calibur fans that were just stoked that Arby's brought Soul Calibur to Anime Expo. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, again, it's I mean, we're working hard, but we're also, like, we're standing in line talking about video games all day. Like, this is great. Does this work? I'm not sure.
And we had someone who on Twitter who follows me. I mentioned I'd be talking to you guys. They are based in London. It's at Nerds Chatting. They want to know, when is England going to be getting an Arby's?
Again, I'm not sure. We're just kind of the creative team, but we'll pass it on along through Arby's. Or if you write to Arby's or Arby's Cares, they always respond. They love hearing, like, you know, where people are interested in having Arby's open up. So write to Arby's. They're super responsive.
And hopefully you'll be getting one in Japan from the sounds of it. That might happen sooner than England from what we talked about earlier. Cameron, Scott, Jennifer, and Brandon, I can't thank you enough for your time today. Thanks for talking and geeking out with me, and we'll have you on again soon.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
A fantastic bunch of very talented people. Brilliant campaign they're running. You can follow them at Arby's on Twitter and Instagram. We're going to take our final break, come back to our last segment, wrap everything up right after this. Stand by.
Hi, this is Dean Devlin, director of Bad Samaritan, and you are listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Oh, my God. Well, I was going to say, we can scan it on that one.
The voice of Dean Devlin bringing us back from break. We Independence Day to him, the movie, of course, Independence Day. And if you're going to see a movie, you should probably see it in a Marcus Theaters. Marcus Theaters, a fantastic sponsor of the show. If you're in the greater St. Louis area, you've already seen the changes they've done to Ronnie's down in South County, to DePere Cinema, to Chesterfield, to St. Charles, the beautiful theaters. And if you're going to see a movie, you might as well do it in a fantastic atmosphere. That way, even if the movie's not good, you still enjoyed yourself. You had a great time, great concessions, fantastic customer service. Right now, they've got a retro series, which I'm very excited about. They're doing, last month, they did Blue Hawaii and Hello Dolly. This month, so I'm sorry, no, we're in next month. We're still in September. October, October 7th, 8th, and 10th, Charade. Classic movie, Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn. You get to see it on the big screen. Fantastic movie. November 4th, 5th, and 7th, they're doing Oklahoma, the musical. And then December 2nd, 3rd, and 5th, they're doing Meet Me in St. Louis. They've always done some great series, either classic matinee, they're doing a horror series for October, including the original Halloween. They're showing It again, so you can see those on the big screen. $5 admissions to the retro series and to the horror series. They're doing some rom-com flicks coming up soon as well. Go to the website, marcustheaters.com. They're in 11 different states, so if you're listening right now and you're hearing us online and you say, well, I'm not in St. Louis, they've got them in Illinois, they've got them in Iowa, all over the Midwest upper region here, 11 different states. Go to marcustheaters.com. You find out the one closest to you. You buy your tickets right there online. If you're indecisive about concessions like myself, you can look over the menu of the stuff they have. And so you get to the theater, you know what you want. You get in those big, comfy, reclining seats, watch everything on the big DXL screen, and you're going to have a fantastic movie-going experience. Check them out at their website, marcustheaters.com. Since we are talking movies, as we wrap up the show here, I've seen a glut of movies the past week or so. There have been many that I haven't had a chance to talk about. Max is back at the station helping me broadcast live here from Toyman. And Max, I know you and I both saw the latest one that's out, The House with a Clock in Its Walls. I think, like, you and I actually agree on this movie. It wasn't fantastic.
You know, I was cautious because Eli Roth is not really a filmmaker that I enjoy a whole lot. And going from a lot of splatter movies and a lot of R-rated scary films into a family film was sort of a head-scratcher. I did sort of appreciate that it was trying to be a legitimately scary film for younger audiences. I just didn't like all of the humor, and I don't think you ever got to know any of the characters.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the cast was great, though. I love Jack Black. The cast was great. The actors played their part. Cate Blanchett, when is she ever not good in a movie? But yeah, I felt it kind of was like a little bit of The Haunted Mansion meets Harry Potter meets Goosebumps. It was okay, but it wasn't quite what I'd hoped it would have been.
Well, you know, when you see a Harry Potter film, you leave that screening knowing all the characters' names and their motivations. I don't know anybody's name in The House with a Clock in Its Walls.
Uncle Owen, I think, was all I got from Jack Black's character. But we also saw, you and I both saw The Nun. I don't think we've had a chance to discuss it, though, because I know I'm a horror fan. You like horror movies. What'd you think?
I was really impressed by it. I mean, it's certainly not top tier in the Conjuring universe, like maybe Conjuring 1 or 2, but I think it's right up there with Annabelle Creation, which was the good Annabelle movie, not the bad one, just simply called Annabelle. I thought The Nun has great atmosphere, reminded me of an old Hammer horror film. The cinematography was wonderful, and Tasia Farmiga can do more with just expressions on her face than most young actresses.
I'm almost scared, Max, because this is 2 out of 2 movies we've agreed on. Normally, we don't see eye to eye on films.
Yeah,
it's good, I guess.
It's the sign of the apocalypse coming, I believe.
It may be. But yeah, I enjoyed The Nun as well. I think it didn't quite scare me as much as I thought it would, but I think it's because it's in a remote setting in a castle off in Romania, and the Conjuring, everything that's in your house. Like that, you could go home and have something like that happen. So maybe that was a little less scary from that standpoint. But I thought it had some, like you said, the atmosphere was great. It didn't have too many just jump scares. There were a lot of just creepy stuff happening. So, yeah, I enjoyed it as well.
You know, off the air, if you and I want to talk spoilers, I have a pretty decent fan theory on how they could possibly connect Tasia Farmiga's character to Vera Farmiga's character. For people who don't know, that's her older sister who plays Lorraine Warren in the other Conjuring movies. I think that they sort of held back some information from us that we might get in further Conjuring films.
Yeah, and again, not to spoil the ending, but they do obviously kind of tie this into the Conjuring universe quite well with just a little bit of this is left over from that, and we roll right into them showing their movie of them helping one of the people from The Nun. I won't spoil it by saying who or anything else. But yeah, and I know, did you get a chance to see The Predator?
I did not. That is one that I need to catch up with in the next couple of days.
Okay, I couldn't remember if you saw that one or not. And what did you think of Peppermint?
You know, I love seeing Jennifer Garner in action films. I hope she does another 10 years of action films. I think that's where she belongs. But I wish the movie would have had a script that was a little more competent than the predictable Peppermint.
Yeah, I kind of felt like we were seeing a female Punisher, basically.
Yeah, and there were no real surprises, and they say that she spent 5 years off camera becoming this crazy, you know, action heroine, but we don't see any of that, and I wish they would have gone more into the Batman Begins realm of watching her train and watching her go from suburban mom to the Punisher. I think that would have been a really cool movie.
Yeah, just seeing her training, almost like a Batman Begins type of feel to it, but I at least they kind of addressed it, but I would have liked to have seen we got that quick, 30-second clip of her on a DVD
exactly.
in a boxing
ring
in Malaysia.
Right. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yep.
And I'm trying to think of all the other movies we've seen lately. Have you seen anything else recently? Because I think you see a few more than I do that impressed you.
You know, I saw A Simple Favor, which was the Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick movie. And at first, when I was watching the film, I was wishing it would have been a bit more of a serious thriller. But on hindsight, I realized that Paul Feig, the director, was really making sort of a high camp movie. And I think he did a really great job with it. And plus, Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick are wonderful in it.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I think it wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be, because the movie previews made it look like it was a very dark piece.
It's much more of a comedy.
Yeah, more than it's not a dark comedy. It's not full on comedy. It was kind of hard to classify, but I like the fact that it surprised me. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be going in. And that, for me, was a welcome change.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one that, now that I know the tone of the film, would actually get better the more that I watch it, you know, down the road.
And how good of a year is Henry Golding having, by the way? First, he's been Crazy Rich Asians, and now this one?
Well, you know, after Crazy Rich Asians, everybody said, make him James Bond. And I was like, well, I don't know about that. But after watching A Simple Favor, yes, make him James Bond. He has all the charisma you need.
Yeah, I agree. That's it's a great film. If you have not seen any of these yet, go see them in Marcus Theaters. Just saying. MarcusTheaters.com. Thank you, Max, for talking movies with me. Thank you to the RB Social Marketing Team. And thank you to Chris McQuillan at Toy Man Toy Show for having us out. Until next week, my friends.
It's not in the way.
Thank you, St. Louis. Good night.